little technical difficulties here. I was just told the other day that these recorded homilies have reached the 1,000 mark on the podcast. I was really shocked. 1,000 recorded homilies. Anyway, you don't have to listen to them all. I couldn't believe it. That's also 3 years. I don't know where all those are stored, but anyway, that's not the point here. We're here in the Christmas octave, which is a festive celebration, festive season, but we're also grieving the loss of our sister who just died this morning, Lulu, one of our committed associates, a longtime member of Anuel, and one of our seniors. So we have to face the challenge of putting together what's revealed in the coming of the Messiah, the birth of the King, and at the same time, the loss of our loved ones. So our thoughts are naturally colored by this news, which, well, I just got the news this morning. Yesterday, the last thing I heard was that she was going to undergo an operation, and that it seemed a little bit hopeful because they could figure out there was something wrong with her, but it went bad and she couldn't make it. So 3:34 this morning, she went home to God. So our thoughts also go to the family. If it's a big loss for us and the community, it's a much bigger loss for her children and grandchildren. Well, this actually is connected to what we were reflecting on yesterday, the Feast of the Holy Innocents. We were trying to figure out how can you celebrate the death of innocent children? How can you celebrate that? It's so terrible. And the answer is, well, when God became man, when the eternal God entered into the world of time, he faced this very question. He came to deal with the problem of sin and death. He not only entered into the problem, but he planted in the broken, fallen world the power of a life that cannot be destroyed, which is only evident on Easter morning, when Jesus rises again on the other side of death, and we say, well, that's the whole story. So it's with this awareness that we celebrate Christmas and at the same time grieve the loss of our loved ones. We spoke about this at some length yesterday because the church always faces, at this time of year, the terrible things that happen to innocent children and to people, and the war in Israel and Gaza and all in different places of the world, and the injustices that are being done, and human trafficking and all sorts of violence. Those terrible things do not defeat Christmas. They do affect how we celebrate Christmas. We can't celebrate it with the great festivity that we might want to, because we have to acknowledge we've also suffering losses and injustices. But no amount of evil and no amount of death can defeat the life that has come into the world. That's why we celebrate Christmas. Well, it's no surprise to us that as we follow through these days of Christmas, that we come to the passage about Jesus being presented in the temple on the 40th day. Anyone who prays the joyful mysteries of the rosary knows the progression here. And we follow this progression quite closely at the end of Advent and the beginning of Christmas. End of Advent, we made a study of the Annunciation. Then we spent a couple days at the Visitation, that marvelous meeting of Mary and Elizabeth and the canticle. And then we celebrated the birth of the Lord, the third joyful mystery. We celebrated that with a number of masses at Christmas Day. And then, now after Christmas, what's the fourth joyful mystery? Well, the presentation. Joseph and Mary go to the temple. Since they were in Bethlehem, Jerusalem wasn't very far away. So that's what they did. To fulfill the requirements of the law. Well, there's a lot to this, and anyone who's pondered the presentation knows there's many, many levels to it. There's what Joseph and Mary were doing. There's what Simeon and Anna were doing. There's what Jesus is doing. There's what the Holy Spirit is doing. And so we can't cover it all. I'd like to just focus on Simeon. And I'd like to focus on him partly because we're grieving the death of our sister. We're facing this sad reality of death. And Simeon has this orientation toward his own death. He was told by the Spirit, it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, it says here, that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. So he has this threshold before him and an event that will take place before he crosses the threshold. He will see the Messiah before he dies. It's quite a thing to live with. I mean, he's looking forward to something that he knows will happen before he dies. Now, maybe we might connect that to what people say about the things that they want to do before they die. A lot of people have these dreams or a bucket list. Oh, I'd love to see the Eiffel Tower before I die, or something like that. I'd love to climb Mount Everest before I die. Well, and sometimes those are fine and just indications of what's interesting to a person. On the other hand, a lot of people have desires to see a loved one before they die. I hope I see my daughter again before she dies, before I die. Or I hope I see my grandchildren or some or great-grandchildren. So those desires are a little bit deeper because they have to do with the human relationships. Sometimes I see in the news, maybe you don't follow basketball, but the superstar basketball player in the NBA is LeBron James, and he's now well on into his career, and his son is in college, and LeBron James has mentioned how much he would love to be able to play professional basketball with his son. So it's like looking forward to some possibility. So that's not what Simeon's doing here. He's not saying, oh, I want to climb Mount Everest before I die, or I want to see something happen before I die. What he's doing here is he's looking to something that will transcend death, something that gives meaning not only to this life or the fulfillment of this life, but to something that goes beyond this life. And that's the coming of the Messiah. Simeon was not thinking that the Messiah would be the incarnate God. No one could have thought of such a thing, that the Word would become flesh and dwell among us. The Messiah, though, was sent by God, was a representative of God, and he had a great mission of restoration, of gathering God's people together and restoring the holiness of his people. So it was something to be longed for, something to look forward to. And this is what was filling Simeon's heart, because of the promise of the Holy Spirit, that he would see the Messiah. Now, did he think that meant he would see the Messiah as a baby? Probably not. That's probably not what he was thinking. He probably thought he would see the rise of some great leader, like a King David, that he would see evidence that God was at work once again to save his people. Because that's what all the Jews had in mind. So why would Simeon be any different? But on this moment, when the 40-day-old Jesus is brought to the temple, Simeon is given another grace. It says he came in the Spirit into the temple. The Spirit led him to the temple to encounter the Lord, and the Lord is this helpless baby. But Simeon is given the understanding, this is the one. This is the one. This is not just one more baby being presented in the temple. This is the salvation which God has prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal God to the nations. This is the glory of the people of Israel. What an extraordinary experience he had. So fulfilling that he could say, now I can die in peace. Now, because I know that God is doing something that is more powerful than death. Now, Lord, let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. It's this, I'm focusing on Simeon in light of our own experience of the loss of our sister, what we do when we grieve a loved one, if we have Christian faith, is we entrust that person to God, knowing that God has power over death. That's why it's not grief that leads to despair, it's grief that is founded on solid hope. We pray with confidence that our dead loved ones will see God. Well, Simeon saw God before he died. We don't think that we're going to see God before we die, but we do long to see God after we die, and that's what we long for our loved ones. So this fulfillment that Simeon had ahead of time, before he died, is a sign to us of what fills our hearts with hope when we face death, our death, the death of our loved ones, seeing God. We are made to see God. We're created to see God. And our hearts long to see him, to see the face of God. So with that, and the reason why we can see him is because he's made himself visible. That's what we celebrated 2 days ago. St. John saying, I've seen him by my own eyes. I heard him. I saw him. I touched him. The word of life. Well, this is this word of life, this Messiah here in the temple, this Jesus, the word made flesh, is the basis of our hope. He's the one we cling to as we journey through this world, which is constantly being pummeled by the sad news of death, and with hope that we will journey not just through this valley of tears, but beyond it into eternal glory.